We are in our third week of our Letters to the Generation series, in which we're taking a look at what wisdom God has to offer to each of our generations. 2 weeks ago, we saw that God is not done with our elderly members, that he still has a purpose and a plan for them. And last week, we saw that God wants to work through adults to make the most of every opportunity. And today, we're seeking God's wisdom for our young adults. And as I've said these last few weeks, we're not putting an age bracket on any of these generations. But as we talk through what range or what season of life would today's sermon be most applicable for, it would probably be most applicable to post-high school years on through kind of budding career phase, or if you have kids, a parent of kids up through middle school. And so as we do that, as we talk through what is God's wisdom for young adults, I want to share a quick story. So before Jen and I ventured out here, we went through kind of a long church process that actually began prior to seminary, of us having conversations about where God might be leading us and just context that we would want to serve in. And as we got to our last year of seminary, we had a lot of people, whether they were friends from church or friends from back home or family or mentors, who would ask us, well, what are you guys seeking to do after ministry? And we would share with them what our honest thoughts were. Well, if God feels like we're ready, we will step into a senior pastor role. But if God feels like we need some more growing, that he has some things he needs to teach us, we'll serve in an associate role. I'll serve as a youth pastor or a children's pastor or associate pastor of some sort. And so we applied for positions. And as we applied for some senior pastor positions, we had some friends, we had some family members, we had some church members who said to us, really, a senior pastor position? Are you sure you're ready for something like that, Matthew? You know, you're kind of young. You're still 30. Maybe it'd be really beneficial for you to continue to serve God in some other way. And so we got the notification from First Baptist that they wanted to have a first interview with us. And so we went through most of the interview with the search committee. And at the end, they asked if we had any questions. And one of them that I asked was, well, what made you call me up and interview me? And what I was trying to do was just, let's make sure that you actually are calling me because of who I am and not because who you think I am or who you want me to be. I want to be honest with you guys. And this is who I am, and this is the person that God has made me. And I can't remember who it was that responded, but essentially it was this. Well, to be honest with you, you're not really what we were looking for. The person we were looking for was between the ages of 40 and 55, and all the names that we got were either younger or older. And so that doesn't really help the confidence levels when you go back to people and say, hey, we're considering this church, and I know you think I'm young. Well, guess what? This church thinks I'm young too, so this is a great fit for both of us, right? But that brings me to today's sermon, as we seek God's wisdom for young adults. As we're going to see more in depth as we go on later, we have a tendency in our church, or in our culture and in the church as a whole, to look down upon people who are younger than us, to doubt what they are capable of. But the question I want us to consider this morning, is that how God, sorry, this is, let me just take a moment and fix this here. But is that how God looks at young adults? Does he see them as a generation that is dormant? Full of potential, yes, but not quite ready to contribute in meaningful ways to his kingdom. I pray that as we study 1 Timothy 4 today, that God would open our eyes to this grand vision that he has for young adults, this grand vision that he has for them to engage and participate in his grand mission. And so as we do, even though we're going to focus primarily on verse 12, I want us to get a sense of the wider passage or wider message of this passage. And so I'm going to read all of 1 Timothy 4 for us this morning, and then we'll focus mostly on verse 12. And so if you didn't bring a Bible with you this morning, I would encourage you to grab one of these black Bibles that's either in the chair in front of you or in the chair in front of your neighbor. And follow along with us in 1 Timothy 4. If you haven't been to 1 Timothy before, we'll be on page 992 in the small print version. And if you happen to grab a large print version, we'll be on page 1178. So 992 for small print, 1178 for large. 1 Timothy for all of you. All right, beginning of verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, though the insincerity of liars whose consistencies are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God cannot create to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers. The word of the Lord. So we see, after we've read now all of chapter 4, that the greater context of what is going on in this letter is Paul is writing to Timothy as a pastor. And he's talking to Timothy as a young pastor. So Timothy is in his early 30s at this time. And he's encouraging him to set an example. He's encouraging him to lead well as a young pastor. And now some of you may be wondering why we're applying this to young adults when it clearly says youth. Youth in our culture often refers to teenagers more so than what we think of people in their 20s and their 30s and so on. But this Greek word translated youth actually refers to someone who is between the ages of 30 and 40. You began your youth in Greek culture at the age of 30. One of the early Christian scholars, Irenaeus, said, 30 is the first stage of a young man's age and extends to 40, as all will admit. So in Greek culture, all had this understanding that 30 to 40 was your youth. And therefore, as we seek to apply this passage this week to young adults, more so than next week to kids and youth, we're more in line with what Paul is trying to get at here. So with that established, what wisdom from God can we extract from this 1 Timothy 4 passage? Well, the first thing we should observe is this: that God's desire is to use young adults in a great way to accomplish his mission. Even though Timothy is a young pastor in his 30s, Paul isn't writing him to say, Timothy, what have you got yourself into? Do you realize you are a young pastor in your early 30s? There are so many things you do not know. There are people who aren't going to respect you. There's no way that you could possibly accomplish God's mission. You're too young, Timothy. We don't see any of that in this passage. Rather, Paul is showing him what he needs to do in order to be an effective youth for God's kingdom. And he shows in verse 6 that it's possible for Timothy to be a good servant of Christ at his age. And again in verse 16, Paul points out that if Timothy is faithful to God in these areas, that people will be saved under his pastoral leadership. And Timothy isn't the only young adult in the Bible that God used to accomplish his mission. David became king at age 30, and even prior to that, he had worked for the Israelite army, overcoming many of their enemies. Ruth courageously stood by Naomi's side and took care of her until she married Boaz at the age of 40. And let's not forget perhaps one of the more famous youth in the Bible that we probably don't think of as a youth, Jesus, who began his ministry at age 30 as he invested in his disciples for 4 years. And the same is true for all of the young adults here at First Baptist. God's desire is to use you in a great way to accomplish his mission. The moment that you trust in Christ, he begins his work in you to accomplish his mission to make disciples. He begins his work in you to help you live in light of the gospel. It doesn't matter whether you start believing at age 10 or 30 or 50 or 70 or 90. The moment that you trust in Christ, God says, I have a mission for you, and I want you to start following me. I want you to begin that mission now. Your age is never a problem for God. In fact, if we pay close attention to the stories in Scripture, we would see that God tends to most often use those whom the world expects him to use the least. So if you're here today and you fit into this young adult generation, realize this. God finds great joy in using you to accomplish his purposes. You can never be too young when the God working in you is ageless. My prayer is that at the very least, you would leave here today believing that God has a grand purpose for you in his mission. And his desire is to use you towards that end today. So we've seen that God's desire is to use young adults in a great way to accomplish his mission. However, I don't think I would be alone in that as we look around at life in the church and how the church is impacting culture and the ways that God is moving. What we often don't see is young adults having a significant impact through the church, which leads us to our second point, that the church, and not necessarily our church, although I think you'll see that we are included in this, but the Big C Church, the church has a long history of limiting the missional impact of young adults. Excuse me. This was something that Paul had observed happening in the church in Ephesus, where Timothy was serving the Lord. And Paul noticed it coming in two different directions. First, it came in the form of low expectations on behalf of young Timothy. Paul writes again in verse 12. He says, "Let no one despise you for your youth." Paul writes this because Timothy himself is having issues believing whether he is fully qualified, whether he is fully capable, whether he was the right person for this job. He's letting others look down on him. He's beginning to question, you know, am I too young to be feeding the church? Am I too young to be equipping elders? Am I too young to set an example? He's not allowing God to work through him in a powerful way. Secondly, we see that this limiting impact in Ephesus came through low expectations on behalf of the older men and the older women in the church. While someone could serve in a high role as a youth, as they began their 30s, as we pointed out, most people didn't really gain full respect until they reached the age of 40. There was this stereotype in Jewish culture that until you had reached the age of 40, you lacked maturity. You were a youth, that you were immature, and thus you were unworthy of full respect. I don't think we have to look hard to see that this history of limiting the missional impact of young adults continues today. And First Baptist is not exempt from this. And so we just identified what was causing that back in Timothy's day. What was causing that in the church in Ephesus? And now I feel like it would be helpful for us to see, why is that still the case today? Why is that still true here in First Baptist? Why is that still true in so many churches in today's time? So here are five ways that the church limits the missional impact of young adults. The first three are ways that young adults limit themselves, so ways they contribute to the issue. And the last two are ways that the other generations limit young adults. And as we go through this, I want to just put in a couple qualifiers here. First, as we talk through this, you're going to see things on the list. It's not just limited to young adults. So some of the things we're going to talk about, other generations are guilty of as well. And the second thing is, we're not stereotyping an entire generation and saying everyone that's a young adult is guilty of these things, or everyone that is one of the other generations is guilty of limiting young adults, okay? So there are going to be things that you look at and you say, man, I am guilty. I've done that before. And we'll talk about how we deal with that later. There are going to be other things that you know what, that's not me, and that's okay. Praise God for that. But what we don't want to do here is to just stereotype an entire generation, whether it's the young adult generation or the other generations, and say everyone follows or falls into this group. Everyone is guilty of this, okay? All right, so with that said, let's look at the first three that the young adults are, how they contribute to this, how they limit themselves in regards to their contribution to God's kingdom. So the first would be low expectations of the young adults. It's what was going on with Timothy. It's this belief that I am only a youth. And so long as we don't have a leadership position, so long as there's not a significant role that we can step into, what we often do is we just say, you know what, I'm a youth, my time is not now, and so we wait. We wait for those opportunities to come. We wait around for the leadership positions. We wait around for someone to come to us to serve God in meaningful ways. We wait until we're older. We wait until we're wiser. And so we limit ourselves because of low expectations. Secondly, lack of character and discipleship among young adults keeps us from having a significant impact. To put it another way, we're trying to engage in the game without having practiced. We're trying to teach others the Word of God when we haven't studied it ourselves. We're trying to teach others to listen to God when the greatest authority in our lives is our experience instead of God's Word. Or we're trying to show others how to follow Jesus in speech and in purity when we're gossiping about others or pursuing unhealthy relationships outside of marriage. And so we don't have the character or the discipleship to make a meaningful impact. Thirdly, young adults are not making a valuable contribution to the kingdom of God because we often divide our attention between spiritual and worldly pursuits. There's rarely the case that I come across a young adult that says, you know what, I don't really want to make a huge impact for the Lord. I just don't. I don't care. It doesn't really appeal to me. Most young adults, especially those in the church, want to make a difference in the world. They want to make a difference for Christ. They want to reach others for Christ. They want to let Christ use them to have a huge impact on others. But then a relationship starts up. And so that takes up our time. Or we start a career, and so all of our focus gets poured into that. Or we fall in love with a great cause, and so that gets all of our energy. And hear me out. Relationships with others, careers, these great causes are all good things. They're passions and things that God gives us out of His goodness. But our main purpose here on this earth is to glorify God by making disciples. That's the mission that Jesus gives us. That's the primary mission on which everything else falls under. And so when those other pursuits consume our time, consume our focus, consume our energy, when they steer us away from our primary mission, those things then become an idol that is harmful to us. It's harmful to our relationship to Christ. And it hinders the impact that we can have on the world for Christ. So now moving on, we see that other generations limit the impact of young adults. And they do so first by looking down upon young adults. If I were to ask many of you, what comes to mind as you think about individuals who are in the millennial generation or who are in Generation Z? My guess is that some of those thoughts would include that they're lazy, that they're entitled, that they're flaky or noncommittal, that they're dreamers but not achievers, and that they're always engaged on technology. It's not exactly an encouraging and uplifting list, is it? And so when Scripture tells us in Ephesians 4:29, Paul writes, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others." I pray that we would all see the tension there. That we have the culture, we have an inward heart that wants to say, well, this generation is lost, or these generations are lost. They're lazy. They can't really make a contribution. They're flaky. They're entitled. But then we know that God's Word is wanting us to encourage them and build them up. So what do we do? Well, so often what we see in churches and in our culture is that we cave in to the negative beliefs. And then our words become those words, and our actions become those actions. And so we discourage young adults from serving in the church. And they often leave and seek some other organization in which to change the world. Finally, we see that a lack of vision for young adults serving in the church limits their missional impact. When I was a youth pastor, once a year, the church that I was serving at would have what they called Serve Sunday. And they would have sign-up sheets all throughout the church of just the various ways that you could serve, that you could volunteer in the church, that you could make a contribution to the mission of the church. And that all sounds great, except for one key thing that was always taking place. That before those sheets got printed, the adults and the elderly in the church determined what the ministries of the church were going to be and how they were going to serve in the church. And so by the time the kids and the youth and the young adults got around, they got the leftovers. They got the leftover positions. They got the leftover ways to serve God. And so as a 25-year-old, my choices to serve the church outside of youth ministry were to take an offering as an usher, to run slides, to run games or crafts at VBS, or to help take care of the churchyard. Once again, not bad things. Those are all good things. They're all critical to the life and the mission of the church, and we all should have the humility to be willing to do those things for the sake of the kingdom. But essentially what the church was doing and what most churches do is the adults and the elderly are able to come forward and say, this is what I'm passionate about. This is what I'm gifted in. And the church creates mission opportunities and ministries around those things. And then they come to the young adults and the youth and the kids and they say, we need you to fill these gaps so we can do what we're passionate about. And we limit how God wants to work through young adults. We limit their passions. And we essentially tell them, just wait until you're older. Wait until you're older, and then you can serve in your passion. And so what we see so often among young adults, and we'll get into this next week with youth and kids, is the passionless, joyless serving that eventually leads to them to stop serving altogether. And so we see now that there are several ways that we all contribute to limit the missional impact of young adults. And my encouragement this morning is that we would all just take time and repent. Because what's at stake here is not just young adults in our church. It's not them just having passion and joy in their serving. What's at stake here is that God desires to use young adults in a significant way to accomplish his mission. That there are people who God wants to know Jesus and grow in Jesus. That because we stand in the way, because we limit that impact, we prevent from knowing Jesus and trusting in Jesus and growing in Jesus. That is what is at stake here. And so for us to realize, God, either by my own limiting myself, by my denying your work through me, by my lack of character, by my divided attention, I'm limiting what you can accomplish. Or God, by me looking down upon young adults, or me having a lack of vision for how they can serve in the church. Together, we are limiting what God can accomplish through this generation. And I pray that we would come before the Lord and we would say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for standing in the way of what you're trying to accomplish through this generation. I'm sorry for failing to believe that you, in your great power, can accomplish great things through people in their youth. But church, as we repent, as we come before the Lord, let's also be reminded of the gospel. To be reminded of the good news that God forgives us. That we can be renewed, we can be restored. This is not the church that we have to be moving forward. This is not the church that all the churches around the world have to be moving forward. That Christ will forgive us. and we could be made new. So therefore, having confessed our sins to him and having been forgiven through Christ, let's take a better approach to growing the impact of young adults in the mission of God. As you look at the second half of verse 12, what we see is God's way of impacting the world. Paul writes again, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love and faith and purity." Notice that God's way of impacting the world through young adults is not for them simply to try harder. Let's just work harder, guys. Let's just put in more time, put in more effort. And it's not for the adults to say, you know what, we need to give the youth more opportunity. And so regardless of their character, regardless of their discipleship, we're going to put them in leadership positions so they get experience. Instead, to our young adults, what we see in verse 12 is this. But God desires to greatly work through you by shaping your heart in Christ to set a godly example. To set a godly example. That's the main way that God wants to work through our young adults in his mission. In verse 12, Paul is consenting to the fact that regardless of what we try to do, there will always be adults who look down upon young adults. So godly wisdom to Timothy is don't let them. Don't let them. Don't give them a reason to. Do everything you can to increase your credibility, to increase your integrity among the adults. But he's also very clear as to how that is done. It's not to seek out leadership positions. It's not to outwork everyone else. It's not to cater to everyone else's expectations. Rather, Paul encourages Timothy, set a godly example to others. Timothy, in all that you do and all that you say and all that you are, display the character and lifestyle of Jesus. Be someone who is so closely following Jesus that others will want to follow your example. And we see from other passages in Scripture that the growing of our character is the joint work of the Spirit in us, shaping our hearts. And it's also the work of our lives, with God's help, to discipline ourselves to follow Christ's example. And so to the young adults here at First Baptist, with all joy, with all urgency, with all encouragement I could offer, let God shape your heart. Let God grow you in Christ so that you can set a godly example for others to follow. So the example you're setting is one of Christ and not one of the world. As a 30-year-old lead pastor, there were many things that I didn't know when I took this position. And there were many more things that I did not know that I did not know. And I knew I would make mistakes. And I knew there would be times that despite my best efforts, that my youth would just shine forth as boldly as it possibly could. But one thing I was determined to do when I came here was to set a godly example. To let God shape my heart and strengthen my character so I could lead by example. And that didn't begin the day that I took this position. That began in the decade prior to that. Of letting God work in me to stay faithful, to study his word, to read his word. To let God work through me, to study hard as I prepped for sermons and lessons. To let God remind me often to pray wherever I went. To let God bring mentors in my life to get advice in areas that I was lacking. And to be humbled enough to confess sin when I fell short. Like I said earlier, I'm not perfect. You all know that. I need Jesus just as much, if not more, than all of you. And there are times when, contrary to verse 12, my example in speech and conduct, in love and faith and impurity is more Matthew-like than what it is Christ-like. But I know, and I believe, that in the midst of my shortcomings and my youth, that God desires to use me in a great way to accomplish his mission. And I firmly believe that for all of our young adults, that the same is true for you. Regardless of your youth, regardless of your inexperience, that God has a great purpose for you in his mission today. God wants to use you in great ways to make disciples today. I pray you would step boldly into that. And so real quickly, here are just some quick forms of application for both our young adults and the other generations as we seek to apply his wisdom today. First, to our young adults, that by God's grace that you would invest time in God's word, in prayer, and in community with others to let God grow you in character. That you would grow in your love for God's word and your knowledge of God's word. That you would grow in your dependency in him on prayer. And that you would let others into your life who will love you, who will speak truth to you, who will help invest in you. So that your example would be one of Christ and not one of the world. Not one of who you think Christ is. But you would be setting a true godly example for those who follow you. And secondly, by God's grace, that you begin setting a Christ-like example for others in all areas of your life. To not let any area go unnoticed. To not let any area go unaddressed. That even if you are setting a godly example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, that you wouldn't leave out purity. Or if you're setting a godly example in love, in faith, in purity, that you wouldn't leave out speech and conduct. Whatever it is, that you would go to God's word, you would go to God in prayer, that you would seek out mentors who will invest in your life and help you grow in Christ in all of these areas so you could set an example for others. And for the other generations, one application, three parts. To let God's love work through you to build up young adults. And the three parts are to not tear them down, to not continue to advance the stereotypes that are existing in our culture, to not continue to look down upon our youth and say, you know what, they're not capable of this because they're young. It is totally valid to look at a person's life, regardless of whether they're young, middle-aged, or older, and say, you know what, you're not ready for this because of a spiritual maturity. It is not biblical to look down upon someone and say, just because you're younger in age, that you are not ready for this. Which then brings me to the second part, to encourage, to build them up, to remind them over and over that God has a great purpose for you, to remind them over and over the value of spending time growing in character, remind them over and over that they are setting an example for those that are younger than them and older than them. And third, to disciple them, to invest in them, to pour into them, to make sure that these young adults develop the godly character that they need to set an example. To make sure they are growing in Christ, so that way someday when they do step into those leadership positions, they are qualified, they're ready, and our church is more healthy because of it. So as we close out today's sermon, I want to end with words from Jeremiah 1, 6 through 7, of another example of a young person struggling with their youth and how God can use them. And Jeremiah writes, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am only a youth, for to all whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak.'" To our young adults, may we never, ever, ever give the excuse that we can't make a valuable contribution to the mission of God because we are only a youth. Rather, let's allow the Lord to grow us and in his power use us to set a godly example for others in all areas of our life. Let's pray. God, we thank you again for your word. And Father, for exposing the lies we've been believing. For exposing the lies within this young adult generation. That we're only youth, that we're not ready. That there's no way that God could use us. That there are better ways to invest our time and our energy and our focus. And we thank you for opening our eyes to the fact that there are other generations who tend to look down upon youth. And Father, we pray that you would forgive us all of that this morning. You forgive us of our sin through the good news of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. And Father, we pray that you would work within each one of us this morning and in the days ahead to make us a church that truly does believe that you have a great mission and a great purpose for these young adults, that you desire to use them today. So, Father, I pray that you would strengthen our youth. Strengthen them in these areas. Grow them in Christ-likeness. Make these young adults more like Jesus. Equip them to set an example for others. And Father, I pray that the example they set would change lives of kids, of youth, of adults, and the elderly, that everyone would see you working in them and would seek to know Jesus and grow in him. And Father, I pray that you would surround the young adults with kids and youth and adults and elderly who would encourage them, who would build them up, who would disciple them and invest in them, who would prepare them for the mission that you have for them. And Father, ultimately, as we all, in your grace and your power, seek this, that you would accomplish your mission for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray.